This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game. A unique game. Played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The man who play it. Make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we'll set your college football DVR coming up at 5:15. But Pac-12 takes center stage this week.
Yeah, the North and South, I think this decides it. Well, if Washington wins, it's I don't think it decides anything. If Oregon wins, the North is settled. But if Washington wins, Oregon still controls their own fate. It just actually makes it interesting. The South, I think the winner of this goes on and wins the South.
Do you want to know what I love, JC Babes?
What do you love?
I love that the Pac-12 viewing, or the football viewing that I most want to sit down and watch tomorrow, mm-hmm. is all in kind of the same window. Like, I think Oregon State starts at 11, and I'll keep my eye on that. But Oregon, Washington, of course, 12:30. And then I think Utah ASU is staggered at 3.
Take a look, see, and see when that.
It's at 3. I'm pretty sure it's at 3. And so there you go. Boom. Right all in the, like, in the middle of the day.
Yeah, so you got your night to do whatever it is that you need to, get into some nefarious things.
No, I'll probably watch more football. I'm just saying, it's just kind of nice to, I don't know, I like it when it's all right there and you can flip back and forth and it's fun.
One game staggers right into the next.
Yeah. So we'll set your DVR at 5:15. Joey Harrington will be in studio at 5:30 this hour in the news. And I want to take a second to talk a little college football here because I saw a story on Banner Society.
Is this the Urban Meyer one?
No.
Oh.
Although I would like to know about that too.
There was a good breakdown where Urban Meyer, he talked about basically how Pete Carroll and the rugby tackle and how it saved football and kind of the inception of that. And I think they did it on the Big Nooner. And I don't remember where I saw it because I certainly wasn't watching the Big Noon or whatever the hell they call that pile of crap. But
why do you say it's a pile of crap? I haven't watched it. Is it bad?
It just bothers me that it's called the Big Nooner, and very rarely is there a big game after it, and it's at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's the one with Reggie Bush, Urban Meyer, Matt Leinart.
Yes, and I forget who's the
Brady Quinn.
I forget who's the studio host though.
Don't they have some hot chick on there?
No, it's the guy who does all the Fox stuff. I just don't remember his name.
Oh, that one guy.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
No one knows his name.
Anywho,
he looks like a politician.
He went down and talked about how it was like a 3-minute video about how Pete Carroll saved football.
Really?
With the rugby tackle.
Ooh, I want to watch that.
It's worth a look.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. No, that's not this.
I thought maybe that's where you go.
Well, I don't know what BannerSociety.com is, but it appears to be some sort of podcast / sports thing. Alex Kirshner is the guy who wrote this, and I thought it was interesting because it's a play that I remember. But I don't remember, and we often forget how often a play like this or a game that could go either way really shakes things up in terms of what could have been, right?
Okay.
So this is October 1 of 2016, and it was Clemson playing Louisville.
So this would have been Lamar Jackson, right?
Yep. And Clemson was number 5, and Louisville was number 3. And Clemson led the game 42-36 with 40 seconds left. Louisville had 4th and 7 at the Clemson 9. If they get a first down, a touchdown wins it and gives Louisville, I mean.
I know the play that you're talking about.
Yeah, you remember it? I remember it too.
I don't remember who it was, but if it was a receiver or running back, but am I right? And if I remember this, it was inside the red zone and the guy nonchalantly goes out of bounds as opposed to reaching for the first down marker.
Yep.
Is this the play?
Exactly. So Lamar Jackson hits a receiver out in the flat. Again, I said it was, I think it was a 4th and 7. And he's running at the 10, running at the 5. Clemson DB closing in on him. The Clemson guy kind of gets him out of bounds, but he really doesn't. In other words, the receiver really could have, it seemed like, made a better effort to dive for the first down. He goes out of bounds just short, but he points as if it's a first down. The official comes over, points the other way. Clemson goes crazy. Clemson wins the game.
Yeah.
Well, there are a couple of things there that this article points out. One is that the line to gain marker, not the one on TV, but the one actually on the field, mm-hmm. is set way back to the point where if a player needed to see where it was,
he couldn't.
It was pretty hard to see. They set it way back. And then, of course, Louisville fans, this guy points out that Louisville fans were pissed about that because right by the marker, as the official signals that it's Clemson ball and the game is over, there are a bunch of Clemson fans, guys in orange, with their hands up going crazy.
I don't remember a ton about this, but we had this discussion on the show. I remember talking about this.
It was a huge play.
Yeah.
Because, again, number 5 versus number 3. Well, he goes on to talk about what would have happened if Louisville had won that game. And it's quite interesting. So the first thing is Clemson no longer wins that division, and Louisville probably wins the entire ACC.
Okay.
And, of course, he says, we can't say for certain how a different result would have changed what came after. That'll be a theme throughout this post. But a safe bet is that Louisville would have won the conference. In reality, the Cardinals and Tigers went 7-1, but Clemson won the tiebreaker. Flip that game, and the Cardinals win the Atlantic by 2 games. Eliminate Clemson's later loss to Pitt, and Louisville still has the tiebreakers. That was the year Clemson lost to Pitt.
I remember that.
So even if they didn't do that, Louisville still has the tiebreaker. So the Cardinals would have played Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game, and Virginia Tech ended up losing to Clemson. And what really happened was Virginia Tech lost by about a touchdown to Clemson. Does Louisville then make the playoff? That depends on if beating Clemson will make the Cardinals more inspired against a Houston or a Kentucky team. But he is making the case that Louisville, as a 12-1 ACC champ, would have been about what Clemson was, and Clemson got in.
Hmm.
So Louisville very easily could have made the playoff, and they wouldn't have stumbled later in the season, because I think they lost at Kentucky. Lamar Jackson fumbled late in the game at Kentucky, and that was their loss. So either way, he's saying Clemson misses the playoff. And if Clemson misses the playoff, guess who would have been in? Do you remember that year?
16.
So that was the year that Clemson hammered Ohio State.
Okay.
And then Clemson beat Alabama in the championship.
Is this the Deshaun Watson, the final drive, Alabama couldn't hold up to it?
That is correct.
I don't remember who was the
Well, do you remember who won the Pac-12? Because it was the Pac-12 champ that got left out.
Washington, right?
It was Washington. So he's making the case that even if Louisville made it, but if Clemson didn't, Washington... Oh, no, sorry. That was the year Alabama played Washington. Sorry. Alabama played Washington. Remember they beat him?
Okay.
And then got into the final against Clemson. So he's saying that Louisville would have played Ohio State in the other semifinal and not Clemson. If Louisville didn't make the playoff, they're saying that it would have been Penn State.
Hmm.
Alabama, Penn State, and then Washington wouldn't have had to play Alabama because it wouldn't have been 1-4. Washington would have played Ohio State.
And so that was the year that Penn State won the Big Ten.
11-2 Big Ten champ.
But and beat Ohio State, but got left out, right? And Ohio State got in because they were 11-1. I remember that.
Yep. And he says, if Louisville makes it, Ohio State probably scores a point in the Fiesta Bowl because, remember, they got shut out by Clemson. So you could, I mean, Washington could have been in the final. You know, I mean, I don't know if they beat Ohio State, but that was a damn good Washington team.
Yeah.
It was a great Alabama team, and they just suffocated
them. The Washington defense was really good, and it was a close game, and then they just couldn't do anything offensively against them.
But they're saying if Louisville beats Ohio State and then gets into the final against Alabama, Alabama sacks Lamar Jackson probably 8,000 times, and he winds up dead.
And Bama ends up winning another championship.
But it does change the whole Alabama-Clemson duopoly that we've got going. Like, that would have completely changed. Based on that one play.
1 yard.
1 yard. Not even that. It was really a half a yard, and the guy could have got it.
And I remember that. Like, he just kind of runs to the sideline, and he kind of sticks the ball out a little bit, but it is not – there's no dive. There's no real effort. I just remember at the time just being like, dude – you got a half a yard for your season, and that's the effort you put out?
He also points out, what if Louisville ends up in the playoff? Does Bobby Petrino still have a job?
Does he stay put?
You know?
I wonder how many years you could go back and point to something like that.
You can find a play or two or a turnover here that if it doesn't happen, it changes the whole thing.
And if it changes that year, does it go on? Does it change the way a recruit thinks about it or this class or a coach getting a job or a guy moving on? And
exactly.
The whole, you know, the road that you don't take, right?
Dude, the margins are so thin.
Yeah.
They really are. And it's just like little things, little like your kicker.
Yeah, if Washington, so the kicker that Washington had last year was a true freshman. Name escapes me, but he's the same guy they have this year. The guy's,
we call him What's His Nuts.
Yeah, What's His Nuts. The guy's lights out. He's 14 for 14, long of like 49, doesn't miss. Last year, he botches a couple kicks against Auburn, and he botches the kick against Oregon. Those are their two losses. If you have that same kicker just a year ahead, dude, Washington's undefeated. They beat Auburn and they beat Oregon, and they're in the college football playoff. You want to talk about thin margins? There
so
you go.
So you could probably say, because if we go back to 2015, Alabama won and they were dominant.
Yeah.
2016, that's the year we're talking about with this, Clemson, and then Alabama in 17 and Clemson in 18. So they've alternated the last 4 years. If Clemson doesn't win in 2016, you know who wins.
What? Run that by me again.
If Clemson doesn't win in 2016, you know who wins.
Alabama.
Yeah. So they would have had three straight before Clemson won last year.
This is a good one too. Someone says the year that Oregon lost to Ohio State in the national title game. Remember, that was the year a lot of people didn't think Ohio State should have been in. The Big 12 got left out.
Yep.
Right?
But wasn't that like Baylor and TCU?
It was Baylor and TCU.
I remember that.
I mean, that would have been interesting, but chances are Baylor and TCU don't beat Alabama. That was the year that Ohio State beat Alabama in a big upset, and then they went on and played Oregon in the national title game, and that was like the Cardale Jones and their third-string quarterback.
And if Alabama won in 16, they would have had five titles in 7 years.
Yeah. They don't need any more titles.
They're still fine. Only 4-7, losers.
And yet...
bums.
No one's really talking about them this year. Have you seen Alabama play?
I have, and I haven't seen a ton of them, but...
they haven't played anybody.
Their defense is, you know, it doesn't seem as stout as prior.
No one is talking about Alabama, and they're just sitting there, and, you know, we all talk about Ohio State, and we talk about, Oklahoma, and you know, Clemson's kind of getting slept on. They haven't looked that good. Alabama's offense is filthy.
If you had to rank the top seven unbeatens, where do you put Alabama?
Just off of what I've seen, are we going resume style?
Let's pause. Let's come back and do that. Fun exercise.
Okay.
Rank the top seven. Now, this is LSU, Penn State, Clemson, Bama, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Oklahoma.
I'll tell you right now who my... Well, I've got my number one, and then after that, I think it gets a lot harder.
I've got my top three, and Alabama isn't in it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I haven't played anybody.
416 on the fan. Come on, you dumbass. Eat me.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I don't know what that
drop I think it's really sexy.
Was in the reference to, but it's uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Very uncomfortable.
Clean it up over there.
Well, I was probably talking to you, react to something stupid you said. Eat me. What?
It's very uncomfortable.
The top seven in college football. Rank them. Go.
I'm going to do two different ones here, okay?
No.
Because I'm going to tell you if I had to put my rankings on merit versus what I see with my eyes, because I think those are two different things.
What? Well, what's merit?
Merit is, to me, who's earned it. LSU is number one. And yet, I don't think LSU is the best team.
No, I want what you think. I don't need a merit out of you. I want your opinion on who you think the best. Rank those seven based on what you've seen.
I think Ohio State's the best team in the country.
Okay.
I would probably say LSU, and I would probably say Oklahoma, and depending on what way the wind blows, I'll flip-flop and give you two or three, and then Bama is right there. And then I kind of put the other two behind there. I put Clemson back there. I'm going to put Wisconsin back there, kind of right behind him.
Okay. I went LSU one. Mm-hmm. I've got Oklahoma two.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say about LSU, and they deserve it because they have the two big wins, LSU's defense, and it's the weirdest damn thing to say, LSU's defense isn't very good. And they're going to run into a better team, and they're not going to be able to score 40 points, and their defense better improve. But to be honest with you, every one of these teams, with the exception, I think, of Ohio State right now, and maybe Oklahoma, I think, have those questions. But yeah, LSU, with the schedule they've played and the way they've looked offensively, they're number one.
So I've got LSU one. Oklahoma, too, because I think Oklahoma, Alex Grinch in that defense, I think they have a defense.
Yeah.
And their offense is damn near unstoppable. So this is one of their better defenses they've had. So I've got LSU 1, Oklahoma 2, Ohio State 3. I'd put Alabama 4th, and then Wisconsin 5th, Clemson 6th, and Penn State 7th.
Yeah.
That's how I'd do it.
Yeah, I don't have any major issue with that. And a lot of this is going to sort itself out because it's outside of LSU, it's almost embarrassing how little any of these top seven teams have played anyone of merit.
That's why I have Ohio State 3 right now.
Yeah.
At least Oklahoma and LSU have both played and beat Texas.
Yeah. Bama hasn't played anybody. Ohio State hasn't played. In fact, Ohio State's only game against a ranked opponent is Michigan State. You know, and Michigan State is so anemic on offense.
Well, of those seven teams, let's see, the only ones that will not go head to head with another one of the top seven would be Oklahoma and Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson doesn't have anyone left.
No, the others are all going to go head to head with one or the other. So LSU, so the LSU Bama game this year that is in Tuscaloosa, that could be one versus two, November 9th. And the last time that happened was that 9-6. Remember that 9-6 game?
Yeah, that thing was awful.
But, and then I think they played again in the title game that year, and Alabama smothered them.
They did.
Wasn't it 21-0 in the title game?
21-0, yeah.
And by the way, that may, if something funky happens, you could see a scenario where Alabama and LSU get in again. But they're gonna need some help. They're gonna need some two-loss conference champions. But if LSU or Alabama, if that's their only loss, especially if it's LSU's because of how good they've looked, and it's on the road at Alabama, and that's a 3-point loss, you have a hard time convincing me that LSU isn't one of the four best teams in the country.
Well, right now, I meant to ask Dave Bartu this on Wednesday, and I forgot, but we can ask him the next time he comes on. But it feels to me like there are more elite teams this year than normal. But that may not be true. That may just be revisionist history.
Well, and again, you look through, and Bama hasn't played anyone. Clemson hasn't played anyone. Ohio State hasn't. Wisconsin hasn't.
I know, but so, these teams look awful. I mean, like, Ohio State hasn't played anyone, but good grief.
They look really
good. Dude, they're loaded.
And that's where I said, to me, with my eyes, they don't deserve it. That's LSU. But from what I've seen, the best team in the country, if I'm looking at both sides of the ball, I think it's Ohio State. When you look at what Justin Fields is doing with that offense and then Chase Young and the defense, they're ridiculous. There just isn't any holes. Whereas Alabama, I think their offense looks really stinking good. They have so many good receivers and backs. The offensive line probably isn't what it once was. And then the defense is really young. And people are saying that if Alabama's defense can grow up, because they haven't been that good, especially on third down, if that Bama defense grows up and gets a little hair on their chest, look out at the end. LSU's defense is sketchy. I just think Clemson is a step back from where they've been. And then Wisconsin, it's always going to be and Penn State, probably for that matter, it's going to be, is the high-end talent there, right? We know that those are well-coached teams. We know that they're not going to beat themselves. Wisconsin's defense is ridiculous. But when push comes to shove and you have to play Ohio State and Oklahoma, Clemson, LSU, and Alabama, is the talent level at Penn State and Wisconsin enough to beat those elite teams? And I'm not certain it is, but that's the beauty part with Wisconsin and Penn State, is we get to find out.
Don't they both play Ohio State?
They get their chance. Yeah, they both play them.
So Ohio State's got to go through both of them.
I think Wisconsin
in the regular season.
I think Wisconsin, by the way, is next week. Wisconsin and Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So they got Illinois this week, and then they got Ohio State.
Where is that game?
It's at the Shoe.
Yeah. See, Ohio State gets to host both of them.
And Penn State's towards the back end of the year?
Yeah, second to last, right before Michigan.
And they same thing at the Shoe.
Yep, Ohio State gets the host.
And I like Penn State, and I like Wisconsin. Boy, and I've seen Penn State a couple times. Their offense is not spectacular, and I don't know how they score enough points to beat Ohio State. Wisconsin is interesting. To me, Wisconsin looks better than Penn State does.
Do they have an offense?
Wisconsin does. Well, they've got arguably the best running back in the country.
But they always, this is the same thing. We say this every year about them. They look the same every year.
Yeah.
Is their offense any different than, I mean, when they had freaking that, who was that wrecking ball they had?
Well, they've had every wrecking ball. They've had Ron Dane.
Well, Ron
and
Dane.
And Melvin Gordon. And
yeah.
They just crank them out. I mean, absolutely.
So it's
they
same
crank
thing.
Them out.
But and then they get into the Big Ten title game and lay an egg.
But, they, you know, and their quarterback is the, is it the Cohen or whatever his name is?
No, never seen him.
He they dink and dunk. He
exactly.
He completes 75% of his passes, but, you know, it's, he's 8 touchdowns to 1 pick. It's,
look, that's great, but nobody's going to bet on that to, you know,
well, here's the
to
thing.
Win the tournament.
Wisconsin has to win one way, and that's playing defense and playing with a lead. Yeah. If Wisconsin falls behind and you have to throw the ball, then, yeah, it's, you know,
same old story.
You're a little limited.
But they're elite. Their defense is great.
Yep.
But then, but see, this is what I'm saying about all the elite teams. It's like those 7 are all undefeated. We haven't even talked about Notre Dame, Florida, Georgia, mm-hmm. who we thought was as good as any of those. Yeah. We haven't talked about Auburn, Oregon, and so there's just a lot of, I mean, it'll all shake itself out. I'm just saying, you also got other undefeated teams too. Boise State's undefeated still.
Yeah, Baylor's undefeated.
SMU's undefeated.
Yeah, but that's not the one I was thinking of.
There's Minnesota. Turdville.
Yeah, the Turdville, which bothers me immensely because that guy's a fool. But
your boy.
I want to see if I don't.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.
They just hammered Wisconsin.
That is so
or
profound.
Not Wisconsin, but. Nebraska.
Are we sleeping on the profound nature of his
Turdville?
You're headed towards Turdville.
So they have beaten South Dakota, Fresno. Boy, I don't even know who this GASO. The hell's that? The Georgia Southern. Purdue, Illinois. Boy, they like I said, they just got done mollywhopping Nebraska 34-7.
Who are we talking about? Minnesota?
Minnesota. And then they're at Rutgers. So that's 7-0. Maryland, 8-0. They're going to be 8-0 and like the 13th best team and the 13th ranked team in the country before they play Penn State, Iowa, and Wisconsin.
Well, they're still only ranked 20th. So
I know, but give it 3 weeks and 3 more road apples and other teams in front of them are going to lose. They're going to be like a top 12, 13 team.
Wow.
And he's insufferable.
Well, the other team that's undefeated is Appalachian State.
Oh, whatever.
No, you're not buying that, huh?
Well, who cares? I mean.
What do you mean who cares? They're great.
Sure.
Great little program.
Whatever.
Who'd they just beat? They just upset somebody, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, man. They're good.
Let's look and see what App State has.
Yeah, give me what they got. They probably beat more teams than freaking Minnesota.
They beat North Carolina.
There you go.
Then they beat Louisiana, what, Monroe? Or
took out Mac Brown, man.
Yeah, whatever.
That's more than Turdville boy can say.
It is an interesting, like, if you want to look, because one of those teams will play in one of the New Year's Six Bowls, and right now that's Boise State's the highest-ranked team. And they've got my BYU Cougars.
I saw that BYU bro is out. Is he hurt, your quarterback?
Yeah. In fact, I think someone said that in the first time in program's history, they started last week an African-American quarterback.
At BYU?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
I think that was the first time.
So progressive.
Someone said that's the first time it's ever happened.
BYU is just leading the charge, progressive these days.
No.
Not accurate.
No. But,
all right.
Well, to be fair, it's not like they've never had one on the roster.
What's the percentage of black guys on the team? Like, generally. Like, when you were there, how many black guys? Could you count them on one hand?
No.
Oh, really? Or more?
Two hands.
Two hands. Okay, so 7, 8.
Do we count? Well, then we got Polly's.
How many fingers do you have?
I got 10.
Okay. I'm not dealing with.
I think you.
Who's the Giants guy that blew his hand off?
JPP.
Yeah. So I'm not dealing with JPP here.
No.
Full two hands of fingers.
No.
Less than 10.
I think JPP could usually count. Yeah. I think you got 7 or 8. But then you throw in some Polynesians. You
know, yeah. But
you got,
I know.
You got plenty of those.
I know. But I'm talking about just black guys.
Nah, you got a handful.
The basketball team usually has 1 or 2.
Yeah. I usually get 1 or 2. And there's usually, there's a couple corners. You get a receiver, get a running back. You know, occasionally a D end or something, but no, there's not a lot. I've told the story before when we were playing Mississippi State and our offense had one black guy. By the way, he only played because our starting running back, who was white, was hurt. And we were playing Mississippi State's defense, and they had one white guy on their defense. It's like a game of chess.
Yeah. We don't mic up the field.
No. No.
Right? Like
the most uncomfortable I've ever been in a football game in my entire life.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next.
Fred Smoot, by the way, quite possibly the best trash talker that I've ever encountered. Some of the stuff that he came up with, I wasn't even mad. I was just kind of like, oh my God.
Tip your cap.
You know what, Fred? Just,
you know what? He's a great player too.
A lot of detail in his insults. Not just your run-of-the-mill, you know.
Can you give us a couple?
No. Just.
Could you clean it up and give us a couple?
Well, he just, a lot of stuff about, you know, the multiple wives and what he would do to the multiple wives. And a lot of if only the multiple wives could see someone like Fred, then,
right.
You know.
I understand.
You see where I'm going with
that? I get
that?
It. Yep.
You
I get it. It. I get it.
They need to experience some
of
this.
And I think
he's
got a point. You know,
I don't know how many have seen Fred and what Smoot was bringing to the table, but I just remember listening to him a couple times and like laughing out loud or just being like, ooh, that hurts. That stings.
All right. In the news is coming up next. The great vape debate continues. And first, though, Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're very excited in here because we're watching baseball and Mike is back.
Yeah, Mike's having a moment.
Back? I'm relieved.
You're back. I feel like you're that home run changed you.
A little bit. My first reaction was hands up, and then I just put my hands on my head in relief because they haven't put a run in with runners in scoring position in like three games.
No, it's like every one of them's hitting like 150. The Yankees, I mean.
Except
but
for the top of the lineup's hitting well. But
yeah, Aaron Hicks just hit a three-run home run, and the Yankees already have four in the first and are leading the Astros 4-1.
It's just setting Mike up to be heartbroken, but I think it's adorable that he's this excited.
Well, of course, but after Paxton gave up that run on a wild pitch in the first, I was like, yeah, they're dead. They're done. And then Verlander came out, and he's kind of terrible so far. So
kind of terrible.
Mike had a moment. He needs to go clean himself up. And, you know.
Do I need to clean myself up, or do I just?
No, maybe you just enjoy it.
Enjoy the mess.
Yeah, I understand, man.
What the hell? All right. It is October 18th, 2019. It's time for the news. I am your noted newsman. It is World Menopause Day.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Souk.
Hot flashes all around.
It is also National No Beard Day, which that's not, you know, I thought beards would be out by now.
Still a thing?
They're still a thing. Very much. All right. Up to 2 feet of snow at Timberline Lodge.
Fresh pow-pow? Not a snowboarder or skier, so.
Cherry pow-pow, bruh.
Didn't have any impact on me, but yeah, go.
Go. Well, they say it's really wet snow, which is great for snowpack. So, okay. Could be good. All the skiers and snowboarders are like, all right, keep it coming.
Again, I feel like
let's get that thing open.
It's a convenience thing for me. If I lived on the mountain, do it all the time. But much like surfing, which I enjoy, and I enjoy snowboarding, I'm better snowboarder than I am skier. It's the all day commitment and the hours, and it's a lot for me to handle.
I have lived here for 20 years, okay, 19 years, almost 20. In January it'll be 20.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I loved about here was the mountain so close, right?
Sure.
Because I used to ski in Colorado as a youth. All the time. We love that. It was great. Spring break. Always go out and ski. And so I loved skiing. It's one of my favorite activities that has now been replaced by golf. I have been up there skiing because I ski. I don't snowboard.
One time?
Three times. In 20 years. And but, I love it. I do. Every time I go up there, I love it. I just don't
see,
do
you're
it.
Like me. But this is my point. If you lived, you know, if you lived 15 minutes... where you could walk out your door and in 15 minutes be on the mountain, you would ski a bunch.
I would. I think I would also need, I would also need a place where you could ski in, ski out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Because the idea of parking and then taking your crap up there and then catching a shuttle and then doing that.
I'm with you.
If you go to a place and ski out the back and ski down, now you're talking.
Yeah.
And now you got to have a lot of money to do that. So
I got a buddy of mine that lives in Vail, and he says that all the time.
What?
He's like, it gets his
ski in, ski out.
Yes.
You got to be, there's got to be runs above your place, and there's got to be a place to ski out the back and down to the lift.
He talks about the convenience of it.
Yes.
And he says all the time, if you want to be a good skier, you basically have to live on the mountain.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just too much of a hassle. And like, he's got a place, like a locker where he skis, where all his stuff is there.
That's
right.
You
don't have to haul anything. And like I said, I feel that way about surfing. I love surfing. It's I would love to be able to actually do it and be good at it. But one, surfing on the Oregon coast, not so much. And then just
the waves are really big out there right now.
Yeah.
And bro,
freezing cold. So no. But if I lived in a place where in 5 minutes you could be on the beach, those are activities that I just feel like you have to either be completely obsessed with it or just
right.
You live there.
That's right. The grape, the grape vape debate.
The grape poupon? What? What's
continues.
Happening?
Well, did you see that the Oregon Appeals Court has halted the state's ban on flavored tobacco vaping products?
So all the tobacco bros can still get their wacky tobacco?
They can get their flavored tobacco vaping products. They cannot get flavored weed products.
Really?
Yeah, that there's still a ban on that. But the flavored tobacco vaping products are back because the court said that they said that they lack the legal standing to enforce the governor's ban.
But you can on the weed?
Yeah. And then they argued that it would destroy Oregon's vaping industry and prompt their customers into the black market where health risks are even greater.
Yes, because the vast majority, in fact, I'm going to say almost all of the ones that are causing people to get sick are bought on the secondary or black market. So I didn't understand the whole ban on the legitimate products. You're just forcing those people to buy them from China and on the internet, which is what is making people sick in the first place.
Well, the government says, hey, they're going to keep at it. They're going to try different legislation, and so it's a battle. Anyway, hey, measles is back.
Yeah, I saw that. That's exciting.
A person passed through Portland International Airport on Saturday between the hours of 11:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. This past Saturday.
Yeah, you can see a photo. They've got it online. You can see the person.
Oh, you can?
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
It was a lady.
Okay. Well, she was in the international. She came in through the international area.
Yep.
Apparently. And she had the measles. And so they're asking anybody who was in that area at that time to maybe go get. I didn't know you could do this, but you can get a just-in-time shot.
Oh.
Where it's like you can go to the doctor and ask for a just-in-time shot.
Or how about this?
And
you should all be vaccinated for measles anyway.
Yeah, but they're saying anybody who has a compromised immune system or has not been vaccinated, you can get a just-in-time shot. You can go there within 7 days of maybe having been exposed.
Get it.
And they'll just pump you full of this, whatever this crap is.
Oh, let's make it happen, people.
Give you another disease.
I did see that we barely, as the United States, we barely came in under the wire for being able to still say that we've eradicated measles. I guess you have to recertify every so often, and we have so many cases that I guess we can still technically say that we don't have measles as a problem in the country, but it was just, we Indiana Jones'd it. We rolled underneath and grabbed our hat on our way out.
Oh, so they're basically saying enough people are vaccinated, have the vaccine.
Yes.
That.
And there weren't enough cases, but they said if we have another year, I read this, maybe a couple weeks ago, they said if we had another year like we had this year, next year when the World Health Organization puts out whatever their rankings are, we will not be able to say that we don't have measles in the United States.
Interesting.
We're trending the wrong way, but we still have the thumbs up, I guess.
Yeah, this says the patient, an adult, had been traveling out of the country in areas where measles is common and had not been vaccinated. God, what are you doing? You know, like, where? I wonder where that was.
I don't know.
And came back with freaking measles.
Just kept rolling on through there.
What do you want him to do? What do you want him to do? Let's say that happened to you.
Yeah.
You're not vaccinated. You go somewhere where measles is common. You get measles. what do you, how do you come back? Like, you, do you alert authorities? Do you just roll through? Like, how did they even know this person had measles?
Well, here's the thing. My guess is that you're so inconsiderate at that point, it probably doesn't matter. You go strolling through because you don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, they said that they didn't know. Okay, so this official type person said that she didn't know if the patient was aware that they were sick with the virus when they passed through the airport, but they contacted the health department to let him know that they had passed through the airport and may have exposed others. So that, again, how did they know that that person had measles?
I don't know.
How does this work?
I don't know how they figure all that out.
How does all that work?
Couldn't tell you. You've got questions. I do not have answers for you, good sir. Do we not know how that's work? All I'm telling you is it's not that
hard.
No,
we don't.
Get a vaccination. Problem solved.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's that. Coming up next.
And yes, this person, I couldn't agree more, by the way, Betty Today Text Line. It should be a crime to be unvaccinated and then proven to spread the disease to other people.
Well, and go somewhere where measles is common. Like, what are you doing?
Jackasses.
Did officials in Washington prevent a massacre?
Oh.
Up north of you.
Can I take credit for it?
No. Oh. That next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
See, here's where live betting gets fun. Because the Yankees are up 4-1. It's only the second inning.
Yeah.
But you can grab the Astros right now. If you think the Astros can come back and win, you can get them at like plus 265.
Really?
Meaning if you bet 100,
you win 265.
You win 265, but you can bet any denomination. It's just, yeah. So, you know, how do you feel about that?
That's not too bad.
Anytime you can get the, and they're down 3 runs, but
yeah.
Anytime you can get a team like that, plus 265.
And I don't trust the Yankees bullpen. They have not been very good in this series.
All right, one more story on In the News, then we'll get to the Hot 5 at 5. We'll set your college football DVR, and then Joey Harrington will come in here. We'll geek out on Oregon, Washington. Policed.
Oh, what? We're policing? We're pleased? What's happened?
Police have seized guns from an avowed neo-Nazi in Snohomish County.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Now, they're calling this a first. Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes says that his quote is, I firmly believe, prevented a massacre. Apparently, this guy was off his rocker. But this guy's up. He's up in a little town north and east of Seattle.
Okay.
And according to court documents, the weapons belong to a man by the name of Caleb Cole, who is a suspected leader of the Adam Waffen Division. Adam Waffen, I don't know what that means, but they're neo-Nazis in the state of Washington.
So there's like, apparently there's like a little sex of the neo-Nazis.
They
like
have sex, yes.
Do they? Well, I'm assuming they do.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. They seized military-style firearms from this man in what is believed to be a first-of-its-kind case in the state. So authorities claim Cole had been amassing firearms and training with weapons in Western Washington. Online videos show members of his organization firing guns and moving through rooms at Devil's Tower, which is a graffiti-scarred building at an abandoned cement plant.
Of course it's called the Devil's Tower.
Near the City of Concrete. This all sounds like a fantasy land.
Yeah, it's right out of central casting.
And Holmes, again, the city attorney, says, this is a hate-filled human, but one who unfortunately possesses a large number of weapons. He's not charged with a crime, but he is named in an extreme risk protection order filed earlier this month in King County Court. So Caleb Cole poses a serious threat to public safety by having access and possession to firearms and a concealed pistol license. So, Adam Waffen, that word, if I'm pronouncing that right, is German for atomic weapon.
Okay.
Which, yeah, that's the name of their group.
All right.
It is a small but extreme organization that seeks inspiration from Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson, who ordered mass murders to attempt to trigger a race war. Okay, so its white supremacist members claim that they will not start a war.
But, yeah.
But
they'll finish one.
They are arming themselves in preparation.
Oh, yeah. An old great race war that's coming.
And their members have been charged with 5 murders in other states. So the FBI has clearly been watching this guy. And they went and got his weapons out of his house today.
Well, does anyone believe that he's not going to acquire more weapons?
And he had some serious firearms in there, too. Well, I guess Canada... Canada won't allow him in.
Yeah.
And they're only saying that because of his affiliation to this Adam Waffen thing. And they said that cell phone photos retrieved by Customs and Border Patrol agents when Cole reentered the U.S. from Canada show him posing in front of the Nazi death camp Auschwitz. In the photos, Cole is holding up the Adam Waffen flag at other locations, and other photos show him holding guns.
Wonderful.
And that's when Canada said, yeah, stay away, please.
Can we send him somewhere else? Can we punt on him?
It's the first time the feds have sought this type of restraining order in the state of Washington, and it's believed to be one of the first instances in the nation. And, yeah, so they got this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they got his guns.
I just looked up that Adam Waffen. They've in a stunning development, they've got a whole online presence, and just seems like a wonderful, well-thought-out, balanced group.
Well, it's interesting that they can go and, like, I mean, the guy has not committed a crime, but he's affiliated with this hate group, and he's got a bunch of firearms. I think it's great that they can go in and say, no, that's enough, dude.
Thank heavens, because it would be terrifying if they that's were like, right. Oh, nothing we can do about it. That's done right. Anything yet.
That's exactly right.
I can't believe, to be honest with you, that more stuff doesn't happen with as many wackadoos as we have running around out there in the Palouse or wherever the hell they're at playing army Nazi dress-up.
All right, that's in the news for October 18th, 2019. We'll set your college football DVR. We'll have Joey Harrington in studio. But up next, it is the Hot 5 at 5. We've got a lot of NFL injury news to catch you up on. We'll get you caught up on this baseball game. And there is college football tonight as well. Next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.